Chili Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Chelly.
The 7th day of July, 2023, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. And this is indeed the show you were looking for. How do I know this? Because you're hearing me mumble through this. This and this and this, right? Anyway, Friars Day. Now, there have not been a lot of broadcasts this week. There were two previous to the Friday night show from me. I did a show on Wednesday with Shannon Rowan, and also did a show on Thursday with Larry Hancock. Did an hour with him. Abbreviated both shows. But anyway, it is what it is. We're going to be joined by some people shortly because this is the open mic night. I don't know what's on your mind. I know what's on my mind. I'm going to do my best not to discuss it on air because problems. Now, I did make a trip to the post office finally, so some of you will be expecting your swag bags in the next week or so. Don't know, you know, I can't speak for the USPS, but I did make it to the post office. So, you know, everything going up in price and all that fun stuff. Yes, indeed. So some of that stuff is on its way, but again, stressors for the week, what have you. Well, it was an interesting news week, wasn't it? Or wasn't it? Are we looking at the presidential setups? There was cocaine in the White House. How about that? Now, you would think if there was coke around and Sleepy Joe, Slow Joe had his hands on something like that, he might be a little more alert. But no, I think a visitor dropped off their own personal bag, accidentally and inexcusably let go of their goodies that they were able to scrape together for the week or weekend or whatever, and they must have dropped them there. Now the Secret Service has investigated it. I find that funny. I find a bunch of things funny this week, but the irony of other things, not so much. Anyway, I don't want to talk too much. I'd rather that you did it tonight. So do us a favor, call in. My co-host is Whitney B. Pete. Going to find out what's on his mind. 319-527-5016. That is the number to call. 319-527-5016. And, of course, you can reach out to me, charles.ocelli on Skype. I do have somebody who asked to be pulled in via Skype already, but we have room for many. I can take up to like 100 calls on the switchboard, and I can add probably 5 or 6 people on Skype before it gets too messy. So plenty of room if you want to join us and you're hearing us live. Of course, if you're catching the podcast further on down the stream, then obviously you can't call in. How do you call into something that's recorded? Every once in a while, somebody does it. But it is just about 11 and a half minutes after the 8 o'clock time frame in the eastern part of the United States. So eastern time, it's about 11 and a half minutes past that 8 o'clock time period, okay? That's where we are as we speak live. And if you're hearing us now, 319-527-5016 is the number to call. One more time, 319-527-5016. Or reach out to me, charles.ocelli on Skype. If you do that, send me a message, and I will call you into the show. So that's the way that works. Hopefully we'll have Aaron back this week. Of course, Chris was sick, did one show, and is still sick. He should be returning, I think, shortly. But first he's got to get a little more well, on the well side anyway. A little more well done, a little more healthy for him. And when he does, we should be back in full swing. Plus, I've got up to 3 shows that could be added shortly. So even if my production levels remain low, there could be new shows coming to the network, and I'm kind of excited for them. Two of them I can talk about. One of them is not coming until September. One of them is likely to land this month, waiting on pre-production stuff. So Erroneous Method and Occult Priestess will be joining us on the network. Each of them will be entirely different from each other, that's for sure, and entirely different from the material we normally run on the network. I think Erroneous Method might be a little more familiar in his style and content, but I'm not sure. They each have ideas about doing things rather differently than most people, and what they've done previously. So we could be looking at some very different new, brand new stuff coming out of the network on a regular. And by the way, if you have noticed that the website has not been a great factory production setup, well, we also had a website attack and some repairs that needed to be done. I took care of those, and we will start running out the podcast through there. Of course, the regular feed goes out as per normal, and that's happening through other facilities. But the website will start having the new podcasts up as well. If you don't know and you're not subscribed somewhere and you're just hearing us on the live stream or you're hearing us on the regular little online radio station, well, if you're subscribed to us on Apple and whatnot, you didn't notice that the website did not do production for a couple of weeks here. But that has been repaired, and we are ready to roll once again. So now I got to pick up where I feel like picking up and start posting podcasts. I don't think I'm going to go backwards. I think I'll just start with the latest episode that's in my hands, and that might be this one from tonight. Maybe, maybe not. Either way, but I'll keep putting them out through the regular feed. All right, now I've given you all the updates that I can think to give you. And again, it is completely open mic, completely open topic. Whatever's on your mind, by all means, call in. And again, I really don't feel like talking tonight, so I know you can't tell because I've now taken up like 10 minutes just running my mouth. But with that, I'm going to turn it over to my co-host, B. Pete, and try and organize callers, because I do believe we have one on Skype I need to bring in, and maybe one or two on the phone lines already. So wait patiently. We'll get to you. But first, I got to give B. Pete his space to speak and organize myself here and get everybody in line. So that's what's going to happen. Anyway, B. Pete, now that I've given a really long, rambling explanation of a bunch of things, hopefully I'm making all these points clearly, because I'm just very upset and very distracted by a few things. did my updates make sense to you, number one? And number two, what's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, that made sense. I don't know. I'm sitting here cruising news reports on this ever-changing story of the snowstorm that hit the White House this past weekend. Uh-huh. And this is something we need to, if we can, we get in and discuss. But I find this to be a highly, highly incredible story that's coming out of the White House on this whole deal. This story's changed so much in the past 5 days that you know it's got to be fake. They're hiding something. They wouldn't be this far off with the facts this long for 5 days if they weren't trying to cover somebody's tracks. We can get into that discussion, because this is getting really interesting.
Well, here's the thing. Again, no evidence that Joe himself is partaking, because, I mean, one thing I can say about somebody, if that's what you were doing, number one, he'd probably have the wherewithal to get a hold of a large amount. It wouldn't be some little bit, you know, some leftover straighters there.
Yeah. Let's not discount this. I heard a very logically based argument for the fact that that's the only way they can get him around.
Oh, come on. I don't see evidence of this guy having a problem like that. I mean, he certainly, Joe Biden, I don't know, a lot of things you could say, but crackhead or, you know, cokehead? I don't know. I don't see it. Now, somebody on his staff, you know.
Now, see, him coming down on the coke buzz during the day would appear to a lot of people to be the same thing as the syndrome they call sundowning when you've got Alzheimer's. You know, late in the evening, you start losing grasps of things. Well, if the only way, he's very limited on a schedule anyway. You only see him like between 11 o'clock and 3 o'clock. And I think that's because that's the only hours that he's actually up for the day. So it could very well be that's what's been getting him around. But we got to get into the story, though. You know, the location of this bag has changed places about four different times. And now we've found out, no, it wasn't where a bunch of visitors come in a little workroom off the lobby to where the tours come in and everybody keeps their phones.
Oh, that was the last. Okay, that was the last I heard. I'm sorry. That was the last I heard. And so, okay, this is news to me. So it's now changed location. And I'll tell you something else just really fast. Yeah. If the end result for him getting a hold of this, if, like, let's just say it was the president using coke, first of all, I don't really care. But secondly, you need a new dealer because he's not getting you good stuff. You're not getting good results if that's the best that the coke can do for
you.
Him.
Don't know how much couple bumps in the morning might get him through, you know, 1 o'clock. You never know.
Yeah, but he's not getting...
always been.
Yeah, come on, though. I would expect much better results at the exorbitant prices that people charge for that. I mean, it's not cheap like heroin. You know what I mean? It's expensive stuff, BP. You want bang for your buck.
Not near as expensive as it used to be.
No? Well, it's been a while since I bought. I got to admit that. But, I mean, you know, just saying. I would think that the results would be better. But go ahead. Sorry.
It's up and down, right? I mean, the more expensive stuff would be the OxyContins and that people are buying off the street. That's where you're getting, you know, $20 a pill.
Yeah, but compared to Coke, I mean, I thought Coke would be... All right, I have not purchased and have not been involved in the economics of this in a long time. So, you know, but last I looked, Coke was a lot more of the expensive end of things. I mean, especially, this was powder they found, right? So... Powder, unless you're getting absolute crap from some gangbanger, you're usually paying a pretty exorbitant price for even a little amount. So, I mean, that's the way it used to be.
That's the funny thing, though. In D.C., possession of coke is a misdemeanor. So, you know, and let's just say if it was a relative of the big guy, you know, he could be buying his stuff cheap on the street. You don't know what he's getting. You don't even know if it's, you know, half fentanyl. You take a chance with that crap. But the location is the thing that has amazed me. When this story first broke at the beginning of the week, it was found near the White House on the compound. Okay. Then that changed, and it was found in the library. And then that changed, and it became a little workroom over from the library at the far end next to a little vestibule when people come on tours. That's where they put their phones in a box. They do their tour and then they go out.
Yeah, which now, I thought was the most logical thing. And it made sense because I'm saying to myself, a visitor dropping it off, you know, accidentally somebody's mad and sitting there trying to figure out, I'm thinking somebody is at home watching that news report and going, can they lift fingerprints off a plastic bag? That's what I figure somebody's doing. But no.
Print, the FBI should be going after. The thing is, though, that's not where it was found. Where it was found was just across the hallway from the Situation Room. At the other end of the building, near the executive entrance, right outside where they parked the limo and his SUV.
Okay, so that's the latest location given for this?
Yes.
Okay.
Then today they had a press briefing, and one of the reporters asked, let's see, I want to get this straight the way they asked the question, because the response was, the reporter asked, if the cocaine found in the White House last weekend belonged to any member of the Biden family. And Jean-Pierre says no and says the Biden family was not here. They were not here. This is a quote. The Biden family was not here. They were not here. They were at Camp David. They were not here Friday. They were not here Saturday. They were not here Sunday. They were not even here Monday. They came back on Tuesday. So to ask that question is incredibly irresponsible. The problem is, there's a press pool report that says the president was there with his wife until 6:30, and Hunter was there after that time on Friday.
On Friday.
And that's when it was.
Okay. Yeah. See, now, the initial report that I read was that they were at Camp David. That was that. So I said to myself, all right, well, Slow Joe's not around, and again, he's not showing good evidence of good coke anyway. I mean, man, look, if you got crap, you got crap. And again, I guess your experiences could vary, but like I said, I would not be going back to that dealer if that's the result I get. It's not cheap. It can't be that cheap. But maybe it's not as expensive as it used to be. I don't know. I gotta admit ignorance on this. It's been a long time since I actually got some of that. Okay. Anyway, and by the way, when I did, it was usually free. But anyhow, it doesn't matter. What do you do with this story? So now it's not in the area where people are checking their cell phones. Cause I'm thinking to myself, you're pulling your cell phone out of your pocket. You accidentally dropped, you know, what you had left from last night's bender or whatever, or maybe what you need to get through the day while you're touring the White House. And it could just be a random citizen that dropped this thing. But now you're telling me it's in an area where that wouldn't be the case. And
right. But there's a couple couple Secret Service agents that have come out to say, no, that wouldn't be the case, because those people that go through those tours, are they do a security check. Mm-hmm. That's why they have them leave their phones. They wand them and they check them. Mm-hmm. If somebody could have dumped in a public place, but they know who came in and out. I mean, you just, they know who was in there, and they have cameras everywhere.
Right. So, well, you would figure.
But see, that's it. In the event these things come out, then they're going to find out, no, it wasn't found at that end. It was found in the West Wing, in the executive section that public doesn't have access to. Mm-hmm. So now I'm waiting to see where it's going to go next. This bag has moved around more in the past week in one house than a damn RoboVac. I mean, it's amazing. I'm waiting to see where it comes up next.
See, and I got to tell you that working in a 7-Eleven one time when there was the discovery of, contraband by somebody who was a customer and this whole thing, and they raised all sorts of hell and called the cops and this and that. They came, they went over, and I'm thinking the White House has to have as good a security coverage as a 7-Eleven did, 15 years ago when I was working there. I'm thinking, their camera's got to be at least that good. They rewound and tried to determine, okay, here's the point at which the guy finds, this was an interesting bundle, by the way, the guy found in the store I was in. And they sat there and they went, okay, here's the point at which the guy finds the bundle. Right. And then they rewound it back and sort of traced it to who it was they thought dropped it off, basically. Okay. So I'm thinking to myself, they must be able to do this with this, security footage. Cause as you said, I mean, there's guaranteed all sorts of surveillance. So they got to be able to rewind this. Probably plenty of high tech stuff. They should be able to see who dropped this off and end of story. And how they didn't kill this and keep this out of the media is beyond me. Or,
department got,
what's that?
They had to do an evacuation. The fire department got called because they had to do an evacuation because it was a suspicious substance.
Oh, wow.
When it was found, you know what it was. So they called the fire department, and they actually did an evacuation of the White House. The Biden went to Camp David anyway. So they just went about their business while they came and fire department responded and they left. Apparently Hunter was still there. One reporter asked a question. The next question to ask is, why is the president's 50-something-year-old son living in the White House when they're not there? Why are we footing the bill for it?
Mm. There's something to be said there, but look, family members being in and out of the White House, not unusual, at different times. I know that. So, I mean, this is not strange, but it would be hilarious if, a media event is created because, thank you very much, post 9/11 anthrax attacks. Now we have people reacting to bags of powder this way, as opposed to maybe it's, good God.
Oh, you bet that the fire department wasn't called. If somebody had found it and they didn't have to go through that, then we'd have never heard about this probably.
Mm-hmm.
So, God for screw-ups.
Well, I guess when I found what I found with the customer found it in the store I was in, and I looked at it and knew, I identified it immediately, and I was like, okay, I know what this is. And they insisted on calling the cops. I mean, I guess I cut them off at the pass from having to call in a hazmat team to come and pick it up because it's a powdery substance. Because I knew what it was. I knew what it was. God. I wonder if this is going to lead to other strange things, Meanwhile, there's other strange events going on in D.C., by the way. I mean, there's this whole guy rolling up on Obama's house, apparently. There's lots.
They say apparently this is actually loony, so
yeah, apparently.
He'll get out on an insanity.
Well, maybe not get out, but he'll be in a hospital, right? I mean, isn't that where they'll put a guy like that for a while, and then we'll forget about him? Anyway, look, so far, Well, listen, housekeeping issues, BP. Let me get to them because we're piling up people now. I got Nature Boy on the Skype already. We have a couple of callers waiting on the line, so I don't want to linger too long on this. We're just you and me talking. I want to give everybody else a chance to get in on it. But we do have that to discuss as well. That weird, you know, guy shows up at Obama's house with a carload of I don't know what, and hey, look, there's a lot of details in that story that are kind of funny. Apparently, they were saying that Trump had posted the address on Truth Social, and therefore somebody went there and said, I'm here to take it to him or something. And yeah, that's a weird story as well, but I'm still fascinated by this cocaine at the White House. I got a comment in the Skype, night skiing at the White House. I like that. That's pretty funny. Anyways, look, Nature Boy is on the Skype. So let's let him get in on this, and I'll let you continue. And then we got a couple of callers to get to as well. And if you're listening out there, 319-527-5016, you could join in, talk about these things or others. But I'm thinking let's have some fun because it's a wacky world, apparently, with, you know, the guy showing up at Obama's house, cocaine in the White House. It's not the first time cocaine's been in the White House. Not the first administration to have it there. Is this Hunter Biden falling off the wagon? Is this Slow Joe's reason for why it is he can only get up during certain times of the day? Is this a visitor? A lot of possibilities, I guess, but I forgot about the idea that they would have to call in people for a suspicious powder and identify it before they could do anything. But still, I would think that somebody would have had the wherewithal to bury this, but they didn't. Weird times in which we live. Anyways, Nature Boy's on the line. Nature Boy, how you doing, man?
How you doing?
All right. You got any thoughts on cocaine in the White House, man? Or you wanna talk about other stuff? What's on your mind?
How much time do you got, man?
Okay.
Oh, geez. I think you hit it right on the head when you said this ain't the first time that cocaine's been in the office. I mean, look back at George H. Poppy Bush, who started the Iran-Contra affair, and we all know how cocaine played into that.
Yeah, well, there's that, you know, but there's been just straight-up coke in the White House many times, to my knowledge. So,
oh, yes. You know. Washington, D.C. runs on two things, caffeine and cocaine. I've heard all the stuff about it's Hunter Biden's in the Twitter spheres going nuts, and I'm like, it could be.
Maybe.
But if it's ghetto coke, I don't know the quality. That will determine whose it is. And now if it's ghetto street dope, right, that's some staffer or some page. All right. But if it's the pure of the pure, the Peruvian flake that has that little blue tinge to it as you flake it off the rock, well, I'd say, you know, that's CIA dope. So it's somebody high in the administration. And if it's not Hunter, it's just bad optics, man. Bad, bad optics.
Well, it's rough. I mean, look, even Freeway Ricky Ross would tell you the best coke comes from the CIA. The straight, I mean, if you find a crap ton of baking soda in it, yeah, that's somebody who went to a street corner and nervously, bought a bag at $50 and has no idea what they're getting.
Yeah. Locker or an ATF locker somewhere.
Yeah.
Or DEA locker.
It could have come out of there. It could have come out of a part of a seizure. But again, there's only this. See, that's the other thing is what is the amount we're talking about here?
Yeah, what's the quality? What's the percentage? What's give us something like that. Then we can make a better guess because that's all we can do on whose it is. I mean, if it's CIA dope, well, that just kind of says it all.
Well, and again, if Hunter's doing this on the sly because he's supposed to be all cleaned up now, right, then who's to say that he doesn't have to reach out to the, you know, to the more street-level places nowadays, right?
I don't know that we assume Hunter's all cleaned up. He's had nothing to make him have to clean up. Any rehab he went to, he never stayed. He's always back out of it, so I don't know that we have any proof that he's all cleaned up.
Well, no, but the story they put out there right now is that he is, right? So they say he is, and they present him as he is. That's what I'm saying, though, is if you're floating that story that, look, all that stuff is in his past, Clearly, he's got to be a little more careful about, you know, not everybody can be aware if he's going to get it. So I'm just saying, maybe the high-level CIA connect is not the place where he goes and gets it because he's trying to, like, hide it a little bit, you know?
No.
Chipping on the side, no?
Au contraire. If he's trying to hide it, he's not going to get it from some dealer he met in a bar. That's just made for tabloid, right? He's going to go to a CIA connect that his poppy, his daddy, hooked him up with and says, okay, Hunter, we're going to keep it on the down low. But here's some good shit, and we'll just leave it at that. But something popped in my brain a second ago. You know, when the recent video of him and the family up on the balcony, and, you know, he looked like, they're like, oh, he did a bump. I was like, nah, he didn't do a bump. He ain't that stupid. But I got to say, I watched part of that video, and he did look like a coked-out person. I mean, just facial expressions, his mannerisms, his insecurities. And considering that my personal belief, one man's opinion, the only thing he's cleaned up, it's probably his shorts. That's about it.
All right. Well, look, one man's opinion is one way, one man's opinion is another way. But I got to tell you that on occasion, these famous guys, when they're floating the idea that they're clean, will go to that bottom rung where they meet up with people that do not know who they are. And I got to say, I'm sure that there are people that couldn't pick Hunter Biden out of a lineup. There are people like that that don't really care about, you know, the American politic, that aren't following those stories. I'm thinking he might try and go to one of those places where he's totally unknown and pick up if he's trying to avoid detection. Because, you know, going to the CIA connect, you're going to trust the CIA when, you know, they didn't protect your laptop. They didn't protect other things for you. So, I don't know. You know, maybe it's just me. But, look, we got a couple other callers, B. Pete, and I'm tending to think you can talk to Nature Boy about this for a bit and go over it. You guys could maybe, you know, handle this a little more. But I do want to get to the callers. I see we have two of them. Oh, three now. Looks like. Yeah, three of them now. So we got three callers and yet another Skype person is waiting to come on as well. So where should we go, B. Pete?
We just go to the callers, bring them on. We'll get them involved. We got a couple other things we can throw around. I got one thing happening I need to ask you about, and that's all this hate and discontent going on down there in Atlanta over a police training course or a training site.
Oh, yeah.
They're burning motors.
We're still on with that. Yeah, that's been going on a while now.
Oh, it's just getting more destructive and more destructive. What's the whole... You're going to have to give us the side of the argument because I've yet to understand what the argument is.
You know, I got to be honest with you. I am confused as to what the like. I don't understand this because it seems like it's. I don't understand either side of it, to be honest with you. This whole thing that's going on there, I don't get what the problem is, and this has been going on for at least I think a year. Right? Where they were, this training ground and this problem with the training ground, and I don't understand. I know there were protests against it, and I don't understand the protest. I really don't get it. And I don't know anybody in the state that gives a crap either. Like, on either side, it's sort of like, whatever, that's just something happening over there. Like, I don't know anybody who's involved in it. I don't know anybody who's even got an opinion on it. And it's so funny because in Georgia, you can usually find people anywhere, any place, any time, that'll give you an opinion, no matter how ignorant and stupid it sounds, about everything, especially things going on in Georgia. And this is one of those instances where, you know, they'll talk to me about the trial over the missing pig three counties over from here, right? But nobody is really even caring about this. This is a weird story that just won't die. And I don't even know what to say, yeah.
Doesn't Atlanta have a pretty progressive, isn't it a black female that won? From my understanding, I thought she was pretty well liked by the people and all. I thought she was behind this thing, and now all of a sudden they're burning eight police motorcycles.
Well, even the previous police chief you know, who resigned, and then they supposedly put in this very progressive police chief there, who was too progressive for some Democrats. You know, you thought that that was the answer, but apparently, no, it's not. It has not worked out. Nobody is happy. And I don't know. I think there's going to be more resignations, and there's going to be something strange come out about this. I feel like the whole story, even though this has been going on for well over a year, has not fully emerged. I don't know what the problem is. I don't know if it's over the money being spent or if it's over them taking over that area in particular, or I know there were some claims of disruption to people just, you know, happen to be unfortunate enough to live there. But I don't know. I don't even get the argument on either side of this. Like, I don't know what the problem is. And I'm telling you again, I can't even, nobody cares about it outside of that area. It's a very contained thing. So, and it keeps going on, and yet nobody's engaging in it. Our local news is not covering it. They did last year a bit, but it was never fully articulated what the problem is. So, unfortunately, I don't have much to go on with that story. But let's see what our callers have to go on, and I'm going to start with we're going to take them in order. Okay. And let's see. I do believe we have Vance on the line. Vance, that's you, right?
That's me.
So, Vance, cocaine White House? Cocaine White House? Are you Vance-tastic? Would you be more Vance-tastic if you had some, you know, night skiing to do? I mean, talk to me, Vance. What's up?
Yeah, I'm like you. It's been like the 2000s since I can't even remember what it cost back then, but, you know. To me, it's like that's just it's like you were saying. There, I would gotta believe that the White House has at least as good a security and all that as Walmart does. So, you know, I don't know who in the White House would find that, and then their first reaction would be to call the fire department. Yeah. You know, the local White House, you know, security must have made that decision or something. But so it's all very suspicious to me. In my opinion, it's probably just what you call a false flag drill to, you know, distract attention. And, you know, if they have security, they should know who dropped it by now, you know. And, you know, that's just a supposition. I don't know all the, you know, details and where they got cameras and where they found it or any of that kind of stuff. But it seems a little sus to me.
Yeah, it seems to me like an acceptable amount of lost evidence to be able to maybe it's somebody trying to get attention turned to something. Something's going on here and somebody wants attention turned because all of a sudden now they have to investigate where this came from, who, blah, blah, blah. Maybe somebody's like, go check the security cameras here. I'll give you a reason. I don't know. I don't know. This is a weird situation.
Keep in mind that this is the reason that he was kicked out of the Navy, was testing positive for cocaine. And that time, he blamed it on a cigarette he bummed from two African guys outside of a bar.
Wow. That entire sentence sounds extremely racist, BP. But, okay. And not on your part, on his part. But, yeah, go ahead.
Put it in a letter to the Navy Reserve explaining that he had no clue how the deadly drug entered his system. However, he tried to pin the blame on a cigarette he bummed off two men from Africa outside a bar a few blocks from the White House.
So, what do you mean I got coke in my system? Well, you know what? I was near these two black guys. Yeah, that sounds a little racist to me. All right, you know, just saying. What a world, man. All right. Look, we got two other callers, and we also got a Skyper. But Vance, did you ever hear that story about, you know, him blaming his testing positive for coke on bumming a cigarette off of? You ever heard that story before?
No, that was Biden or what?
Yeah, that was a Hunter, right?
Yeah, Hunter.
Back in 2013.
Okay. Why not?
Yeah, I've heard better excuses. But, you know.
And get this. To join the Navy, he decided to join the Navy. Mm-hmm. And he had to get a waiver because he had a prior drug incident. So they grant him the waiver. He gets a second waiver. He goes to join. He's not here but days. He takes a physical. They pop him for being positive for coke. And so he can't join the Navy. He's still stuck. They didn't get him off the reserve list until 2014. So his Navy career was but a few days, not long.
Nice. Okay, so he didn't even get in long because he tested positive for coke again after getting a waiver. Oh, that is just, well, you know, sounds like a chronic issue to me, BP. But, yeah, go ahead.
But it's been that way. I mean, you know, everybody knows it. So to automatically assume that it might be his is not a stretch.
Hmm. Fair enough. So with that, I guess we'll go to our next caller so we can get everybody in, because I want to get everybody on the line and then maybe take a break. I think that's where we're going to go with this tonight. But talking cocaine in the White House at the moment, maybe we'll get to the menacing of Obama at the address in D.C. a little later, maybe. Why not? Chris Graves has joined on Skype, but hold on, Chris. Wait a moment, and let's see if we can get the callers in real quick. And here is a caller who's probably been dying to get back on the line, because I think you weren't here last week. Where are you, Jimmy James?
No, I wasn't on. What's up, fellas?
How you doing? So Jimmy, you have nothing to say about cocaine in the White House, do you?
Yeah, it's found in the working West Wing. It had to be a White House person.
Mm-hmm.
Vegas is usually right. And yes, they're betting on this. And yes, Hunter by far is leading. So I'll defer to the Vegas bookmakers.
So they got a line on this in Vegas, and Hunter right now is the strong bet.
You got that right.
Fair enough.
Is there a line on whether the video footage has been lost? If the camera was down.
How much you want to bet at some point somebody's going to say that there was malfunctioning cameras here? How about a line on that? No?
No, there's okay. No way. Mark Levin's spent 8 years working there, and he says every inch of that place is constantly under surveillance. Mm-hmm. It was the Secret Service who found it.
Mm-hmm.
They went and looked behind a book in the library. Now, what's that tell you? Obviously, they watched someone on video do this.
That would make the most sense.
Why they call the fire department? Why would they call the fire department?
Well, because as BP said, it's an unidentified powder. Now, do they know what it was, even if they saw somebody put it there? No, they don't, do they? I mean, you know, again, thanks to the anthrax attacks post 9/11, right?
That story has changed. It wasn't found in the library. Now it's been to the executive entrance at the other end of the building.
Oh, see, you know, again, I'm behind on this story. So that library story is old, is what you're saying, BP.
That's what I'm, yeah. This thing has moved around the White House more in the past 5 days than the Roomba, RoboVac.
Nice. Well, let's see what everybody else has to say about this.
No, I don't believe it. We all know who that. I just wanted to say one last thing. We all know that's Hunter Biden's booger sugar.
Hunter Biden's booger sugar. Maybe that's what we'll title this show tonight. We'll see. Maybe. Will the Secret Service be contacting me if I put that out? I guess I'll find out later. All right. So let's go to it. I got another caller on the line, but I do believe in order we should go to Chris Graves next, who is on the Skype, and he could talk to us and let us know what's going on. Chris has been absent a bit as my production has been slowed down, both for health reasons. Hopefully you're feeling better, Chris. I hope so. Anyway, you did mention that you were getting some help, and hopefully it's working for you, because we sort of miss you, and I bet people miss you even more because I'm not producing as much either. But first and foremost, I want you to get well. How you doing tonight?
Well, I'm better now, buddy.
Oh, good. That's good to hear.
Yeah, getting the fluid off out of my body here. So that's good.
You sound better. You sound better already than the last time I talked to you, to be honest with you, because you sounded like you were struggling to even speak. I guess it was, what, Monday?
Yeah, it was fluid pushing on my lungs. Yeah.
So well, good thing you're on the mend.
Yeah. Lasix or whatever they call it, or diuretics.
Yeah, well, what Lasix is, Lasix or something like that is one of the things they do for water, right?
Yeah.
It's like a water pill.
But a series of them. But anyway, yeah, no. So there shouldn't be any more interruptions.
Excellent. Well. Anyway, let's go to the topic of the day, unless you want to give people a rundown on your health. Probably not. You want to just move forward, I'm thinking. But
yeah, I probably already said too much.
Okay. Fair enough. So what are your thoughts on cocaine in the White House, or do you want to talk about the menacing of the Obama address? What do you think? Or you got something else for us?
I'm just wondering where Hunter Biden got the map for W's leftover stash.
W's leftover stash. Well, you know, that's a funny thing, too, because there were allegations. Well, there were allegations, but by the time W's in the White House, he was pretty much, like, supposed to be born-again Christian, you know, and really...
Well, you got to remember, I don't know if you remember this, Chuck, at the time, there was a guy that wrote a book all about W that ended up dead in a bathtub. His name was not James Hetfield from Metallica, but it was James Hetfield.
Yeah.
And he disappeared, and his book that he published, he claimed he had videotapes of, he claimed he had videotape of Bush partying and with the booger sugar. And then all that went away when James Hetfield turned up dead in a motel room.
Well, W's an interesting guy. He had his issues when he was in the Air National Guard and all that, you know, failing his physical, right? that was yeah. Interesting. But by the time he got in the White House, I don't know. I, you know, again, face value, I kind of go with the public perception.
It's more of a joke. I think it is Hunter's, obviously, just so Jimmy James doesn't get mad at me. I think it's 100% Hunter's.
So you're going with the Vegas line on this as well. It's very likely it's Hunter Biden's contraband.
I think at this point he's so brazen that he was probably offering to do rails with the Secret Service.
Okay. You know, look, it's not like I've never seen somebody in law enforcement partake while on duty. Yeah, that does happen on occasion, you know. Especially somebody's going to come in and make a bunch of arrests in, say, a bar, and somebody says, hey, look, instead of doing that, why don't you have this over here? And, oh, by the way, you know, this girl likes you a lot. She'll talk to you. And you know what she likes is a little bit of this. And they drop something in front of them. And then, you know, the problem with the cops goes away. Not like I've never seen that in my lifetime or anything.
Yeah, offer up a little night skiing and some comfort, and there you go.
Little cross-country relaxation. But anything else you want to add into this? Or should I move on to the last caller that's on the line?
Nah, you should move on to everyone else. That was pretty much just a bad W joke.
Okay, bad W
I'll
joke.
I'll just say that my number two...
Your number two suspect,
my
yeah.
My number two suspect is that black theater.
See, I was thinking maybe it was a friend of Pete Buttigieg. I don't know why. That is the first thing that occurred to me. I don't know why.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Nah.
No?
Gays don't do hard drugs. Are you crazy?
Oh, then you don't know gays. Are you kidding me?
Nah, I don't think so.
If you think that gay guys don't do hard drugs, you don't know gay guys.
Is there techno music going on?
Oh, boy.
Well, speaking of gays, I have Ryan.
Wait a second. Go.
Well, that's if you consider.
If you consider what, Jimmy James?
Oh, I was just going to say, I guess that depends if you consider, what they call those rave drugs back in the day, like
You're talking about poppers, amyl nitrate?
Like what? Axel times 10,000 or some crazy.
Oh, that would put holes in your brain, supposedly. Yeah, that was.
Nah, those crazy things in the 90s.
The designer stuff? Yeah, your ecstasies and things like that.
You go rolling or whatever, yeah.
Roofies, I think. Roofies.
Yeah.
Well, roofies.
That's a date rape.
Roofies is a date rape thing, and it generally refers to Rohypnol, which is.
Roofies are.
Okay.
But ecstasy was the rave drug in the late 90s, I believe.
Yeah, I remember ecstasy and amyl nitrate being a big thing, which they called poppers. But, you know, club
scene.
I
saw that on Sesame Street once.
I bet you did. You know what? I love Dave Chappelle's version. You ever see Dave Chappelle's like Sesame Street thing?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
It's the best.
His Oscar the Grouch.
And it's Mr. Rogers. It's Mr. Rogers, too. Didn't they do Mr. Rogers where he's like crawling out the window? Mr. Rogers going to be back.
Well, Eddie Murphy used to do what? Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood.
Okay.
That's right. Yeah.
That's who I got confused. I apologize.
No, but Dave Chappelle actually did a Sesame Street thing, which was pretty funny, where he brings out Muppet versions of venereal diseases and stuff. It's pretty funny.
And informative.
Who was it was on there with him? The rapper. Oh God!
You had Wayne Brady as a thug.
Wayne Brady. That was funny too. But I was trying to think of who the rapper was that was on. Mos Def. That's it. They're very good.
In the car driving. Yeah, that was Mos Def or something like that. I think. Yeah.
Yeah, Mos Def was part of that, and that was hilarious. Anyways, we do have one more caller, so do we need to get back around to anybody else? Jimmy James added in. We're talking about who's got access to what. Jimmy James thinks that gays don't do hard drugs, that's where we're at so far. But should we bring in the next caller, BP, to keep this interesting train a-rolling for a minute before we go to a break? What do you think?
We'll bring him in, then we can go to the break.
All righty then. So, let's see here. Yes. Okay. We may have lost somebody here in the shuffle on the phone lines, but we did just add a caller. So, you're live, man. The switchboard switched up on me, but I got you on, I think.
Yeah, I'm here. This is Harlan. What's going on, everybody?
Okay, I didn't want to say that because I pressed a button and somebody disappeared, so I wasn't sure if it was you. Okay. Anyways, man, how you doing? You got anything you want to add to the cocaine in the White House or your opinions about what hard drugs gays do? Or is there something you want to talk about regarding the menacing at the Obama address? Or are you going with the Vegas line on Hunter Biden? What do you think, Harlan? Any thoughts?
Well, first off, I thought that Hunter's drug of choice was crack.
Yeah, me too. But, you know, I guess variety is the spice of life. I don't know. You know, this was a supposedly powdered coke, but the location of the bag has changed so many times, I'm confused. BP's keeping me up to date on it, but, you know, this thing was in the library, it was in the visitor section, it was, across the hall from the Situation Room. I mean,
in front of the Pentagon on 9/11.
Maybe.
Security cameras.
Where's the security footage? That's the thing. If they say something like a security... Like, yeah. Sorry, Harlan, go ahead. Yeah.
It seems like that location has pivoted more times than a lot of politicians' positions on certain things change.
True enough.
But back to the deal in Georgia, I heard that what the main thing was people was pissed off because it was too much like paramilitary training, you know, just to use on the regular people.
Yeah.
That's what I remember from a month or so ago. Well, I'm in Georgia a lot, and I've not heard anybody, you know, say anything on the ground. You know, I'm there pretty much every week. I've been off the last 2 weeks, but I've not actually heard anybody say anything about it.
Yeah, see, that's the thing.
I know that live there. They've not said anything.
See, that's the thing, right? What I'm saying is true, that hardly anybody's talking about this here. And, yeah, I vaguely remember that that's what it was. It's like, this is a little too much going on in our neighborhood kind of thing. Like I said, the people that live there objected to it a bit. But I don't know what's going on regarding this escalation, you know, things getting burned. They've, you know, I don't understand what's happening. And nobody that I know in the state is even paying attention to it. It's just, it's a weird thing that's very contained to that area, it seems to me. And again, I'm confused as to what the pros and cons are here, except, you know, we don't want this in our neighborhood, so to speak. And I get it, but where else are you going to, you know, it's going to wind up somewhere. What's, you know, where do you want it? I don't know. Right?
Yeah, I mean, it didn't seem like, you know, that there'd been a lot of news coverage on it here lately. I didn't even know it fired back up. I know that was raising hell, you know, about a month ago. But I hadn't heard anything else about it. You guys mentioned it earlier.
Yeah, well, remember it was going on last year a bit, right? I mean, this has been ongoing for a while, but it again, not much coverage, not much explanation. It's just a thing that happens, and every once in a while there's an incident connected to it, and that's it. So I don't know.
Well, the last thing to cause any big, I guess, big stir, they had this city council meeting to do the final vote on the funding, and it passed, but it was delayed 16 hours with the amount of protesters that showed up and the amount of people that wanted to for public comments. So it got drug out. They put it 11-4 to vote to fund the thing. Now, I thought when it originally started that it was some echo people that were ticked off because of the amount of property and the location that they were going to do it in. Clearing some forest and part of something else.
Yeah, but that argument disappeared quickly. See, that's the thing. That argument came out and then went away.
Right, and then it was people that were complaining about the police training, but I don't remember. Have you guys had an incident down there in Atlanta where somebody got shot by the cops or something in the past year that would have caused all the protests? Because the latest thing that brought it up was the city council meeting, and then somebody went to an old training center where they have a bunch of motorcycles parked in the lot, and they were able to burn 8 of them. They said the intention was to try to get them all, but they only got 8 of them that actually burned. So that's the two latest things, the city council meeting and this burning of motorcycles at an existing old facility. So I don't know if this has been going thing, but I never knew that there was an issue in Atlanta over one funding the police or protest against the police. I didn't know that there were any issues against the police down there like you have in some cities.
Well, hey, look, a couple of times a year, this is just par for the course. A couple of times a year, there is a questionable shooting, and there's usually some level of protest. I mean, it got real bad when that one guy got shot in the Wendy's parking lot, and then somebody proceeded to burn the Wendy's down.
Was that in Atlanta?
Yeah, but that was right. A while ago. You know.
Yeah, discuss that. Yeah.
And there was a shooting of somebody who, you know, not too long ago, maybe a couple of weeks ago, but it didn't seem to be one of these things that was in a heavy controversy. You know, the family was demanding release the tapes as per usual, and Crump showed up for a minute, but he went away quick because it was sort of decided that you know, it wasn't entirely unreasonable that this happened. It wasn't like it was somebody totally unarmed who was surrendering got shot, okay? So it wasn't like, you know, one of these gray area issues. And a couple of times a year this goes down in Atlanta, so it's not usually a big protest thing. Like I said, the last time there was a big reaction was that guy who was he was falling asleep in the Wendy's drive-thru, if I remember right, and they called the cops, and the cops came and wound up trying to tase him, and then were shooting at him as he was running away. That was the last time.
He actually stole the taser from the cop, wasn't it?
Yeah, he winds up taking the taser from the cop and tried to fire it at the cop, but I think it had already been deployed. So he winds up throwing it on the ground and running away. I think that's the same incident. But the guy was falling asleep. He was nodding off in the drive-thru line at Wendy's. And that sparked protests.
And they fired the cop, too.
What's that?
They fired the cop also.
Oh, yeah. And then on top of it, that is when we had the change in regime where the police chief, which I didn't understand why the police chief needed to resign, but did resign. And then the more progressive, there was a temporary police chief in there who was like, I don't really want this job. And then they put somebody new in there who I think is still there. But even since then, what is it? Keisha Lance Bottoms has even left, right? She became a special advisor to the Biden administration, I think.
Well, she was, right?
Well, she was either offered, she was the mayor, and she was either offered the job or she took it. I don't know which. But I know she was offered another job, and she's no longer the mayor. But, yeah. I don't think there was some big protest recently.
Well, we've got another issue in the news, too, that I forgot about. You know, we had a shooting. We had a bunch of shootings over the weekend. We had the one in Philadelphia where, what was it, five people got killed.
Yeah.
Some of them, some couple kids in the group. And it turns out that that individual, the first reports that you saw were this individual was transgendered, blah, blah, blah. And in the past 5 days, the story has all changed to where they're referring to this guy as a him.
Yep.
It's, you know, there's no mention whatsoever of the transgender part of it. And so now you have people wondering, is the press out there suppressing the transgender angle since we still haven't seen the, quote, manifesto material that they got in Tennessee on the transgendered shooter?
Mm.
So that's another issue that's going around.
Yeah, but again, it could be just false reports to begin with, and they're also coming down on this. This wasn't a guy with a manifesto in Philly. This was just a young guy deciding to go shooting at people randomly, apparently.
No, this guy had a rifle, a ballistic vest, and a pistol on him at the time. I mean, he was out there to do damage, but the first stories pulled pictures off his Facebook or somewhere, social media, of him in a dress in his trans garb, so... I mean, I think that claim was legit. You're just not hearing it reported.
Oh, really? Well, I don't know. You know, Tennessee, well, that's closer to where Harlan is. Harlan, are you hearing anything about this controversy over the manifesto of the Tennessee shooter still?
I've not heard nothing. What's it been, 4 or 5 weeks ago? I mentioned it on here when they had some of the court hearings. That's the last thing I heard about it.
Yeah, me too.
And it hadn't been turned out.
Me too. Is there any new...
No relation.
Yeah. B. Pete, are you aware of any new reports on that? Because as far as I know, they were just sort of stuck on it, and it really hasn't been talked about much since. That, you know, some people wanted it to get out there, and some people are objecting to it, and that was it.
Well, it was the family that... the families... Well, the victims didn't want it released. Mm-hmm. So somebody did a FOIA request or something, and this family or group of victims or somebody, there I think there were like 4 or 5 of them together,
mm-hmm.
went and filed to get an injunction to keep it from being released. And I've not heard anything since then. I mean, that was the last court hearings involved in it. I don't know if we're waiting on a hearing or waiting on a decision,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, that's limbo right now, but that was the last I heard, was that there were individuals that had petitioned for it not to be released.
Yeah, and there were media outlets that had petitioned in the opposite direction to have it released, right? I think CNN even filed a lawsuit, but honestly, I haven't heard anything about it since.
Yep, that's the last I've heard as well.
Yeah.
But it's strange, you know, why? I really don't understand. You would think it would be a matter of public record. Because it was a public event. I mean, this wasn't like a domestic dispute in somebody's house. You know, this was a public event. So I would think in the long run, it might be hard to keep that stuff suppressed, especially if there's a civil suit.
Well, you think so. But then there is the counter argument, which I have an appreciation for, that, look, this is a way that guarantees that somebody gets their, you know, their statements read. If they go and do one of these things, you don't want to encourage somebody. Look, I can get my manifesto published, basically, if I go and shoot a place up. I'm thinking, you know, that could be an encouragement to somebody to do this in the future. I have heard that argument, and I think it's somewhat sound, that, you know, somebody could look at this. Look, I'm desperate. I got no other way to be heard. And I know how I can get heard. If I'm the guy that they take into custody or I get killed doing this, at least my, you know, my profound, political thought or social thought or whatever crap, will get read and heard by people if I do this, right? You know, so I can understand people saying, you know, you're almost providing a motivation for somebody to go and participate in one of these mass casualty events as an aggressor, by encouraging them, hey, at least you'll get published if you do this, you know. So I don't know. You know, it's a weird thing. I get it. It's a matter of public record. And there are people that, you know, say full transparency at all times. But is that always good? I'm not sure. You know, I think it depends on what the content of this, you know, alleged manifesto is and all that, because, you know, just letting somebody run out there with some other twisted ideas, I mean, could it inspire somebody else based on their manifesto to go do more? You know, is there a cumulative effect? Is there a continuing effect from encouraging and giving publicity and giving a voice to people who, you know, are clearly twisted and criminal individuals that, you know, that went to an extreme to get themselves heard. Anyway, tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a break and continue on with this discussion. Unless they find some more cocaine in the White House before we're done tonight, I think we might have exhausted that subject. But who knows what else we'll get into and what else you could get into if you join us. 319-527-5016. That's the number to call. The live open mic Friday night on Ocelli.com is happening. Stay tuned.
Ocelli.com.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold. Silver. The stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I'm interested in the truth about the JFK assassination.
Right. Well, what do you want to know?
Judy Baker's wild claim, Oswald girlfriend, she knew Ruby and Barry, cancer weapons. Really?
I imagine I could claim I have four wheels. It doesn't make me a wagon, but okay.
Oswald was on the kill team and trying to prevent the murder of John Kennedy. Come on now. Has a real expert on the JFK assassination looked into her claims?
Go to Amazon.com. Enter Judith Baker in her own words. You'll get results for a digital copy of a book where Walt Brown utilizes her own words and the known evidence in the case to get at, well, a different perspective, let's say. You can get Judith Barry Baker in her own words from the author himself, signed if you request it, by contacting Dr. Brown at KIASJFK@AOL.com. It's a fun book, and it actually dissects the many, many fantastic claims. Judith Barry Baker in her own words.
Thank you for all the great information.
Do you like history? Real history that you were never taught in schools? Why? The Vietnam War, Nuclear Bombs and Nation Building in Southeast Asia, by author Mike Swanson, with new documentation never seen before that'll open your eyes to events that led up to this. Why? The Vietnam War, Nuclear Bombs and Nation Building in Southeast Asia, 1945 through 1961. Get your copy today at Amazon.com. Why? The Vietnam War, by author Mike Swanson.
The views expressed by callers, co-hosts, or anyone else who happens to get on the air at Ocelli.com do not necessarily reflect the views of Ocelli.com or Chuck Ocelli, and we are not responsible for any stupidity which might ensue. Thank you.
You're listening to the Ocelli.com radio network.
Revelation through conversation.
Get Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks, by Larry Hancock. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks. Larry Hancock. For more information, go to larry-hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at amazon.com in digital or physical form.
Uncle, I'll bet you remember the time when Benjamin Fulford said that the Asian Secret Society was going to dispatch ninjas to take out the Illuminati to change the entire world for the better.
That is never gonna happen. That never did.
It never did it?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, because there's a lot of false promises.
Fools? I can't say more.
We better not say and be polite, but there are no false promises at the Ocelli.com radio network.
That's exactly it. Not. It's truth to point, right to the point. And this is what I like. Straight to the point.
Ocelli.com. Listen now.
You're listening to the Ocelli.com radio network.
The War State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times and reveals never before published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
Revelation through conversation.
Nuclear holocaust. You know what uranium is, right? It's a thing called nuclear weapons and other things, like lots of... You know what uranium is, right? Bad things. Things are done with uranium, including some bad things. Nuclear holocaust. You know what uranium is, right? I've been briefed. Nuclear holocaust. Nuclear holocaust. You know what uranium is, right? It's a thing called nuclear weapons and other things, like lots of... You know what uranium is, right? Bad things. Things are done with uranium, including some bad things. Nuclear holocaust. Nuclear holocaust. Nuclear holocaust. Nuclear holocaust. Nuclear holocaust. Nuclear holocaust.
Second, and what will likely be the final segment for the Friday night open mic, because we got about 45 minutes or so, and we're going to kill it with you tonight here on the live show. 319-527-5016. So far, we've been joined by Vance, Harlan, Nature Boy, Chris Graves, and, of course, Jimmy James. So that's who's joined us so far, but you could join that list if you like. 319-527-5016, and my co-host, B. Pete, is with me. So far, we've spent quite a bit of time on cocaine in the White House, you never know what will happen next. Questions were asked about the situation in Georgia and the police training facility and Copland and all that. I don't have answers there. Do we know about the transgender agenda and whether that is being in play as far as what's being reported regarding mass casualty events? Not sure. Should you publish a manifesto or not? I think I just recapped everything except, again, extraneous discussion of the Vegas line and Hunter Biden and is it his coke? Who knows? It keeps changing locations. What if there's more than one bag of coke? Is there a bag of coke on the grassy knoll? Perhaps we'll find out in November. I'm excited for that, by the way. So that's coming up, and hopefully I survive to get there. It's been a weird time. I'm thankful that I'm not spitting up blood as I was. So that's under control, but still struggling with the issues. I think I'm about to turn the corner on that physically, so we'll be able to get back into production. Chris says he sounds better, feels better, and we got upcoming shows. So production is going to amp up here in the next little bit on Ocelli.com, and we're going to get back to putting the shows back up on the website again, too. Of course, the website was attacked. I had the car issue. I had other problems hit me. So I've been occupied with various battles, but hopefully that is all going to come to an end shortly. Anyway, the show still must go on for a bit, at least 40-some-odd more minutes left, and hopefully we got a few more things to discuss. BP, did we get around to everybody about the cocaine in the White House, et cetera? I think we did.
Yeah, we did. I've got one other item we can throw out here just because of the novelty, but, you know, we have a lot of people complain that, you know, if you outlaw guns, people won't be able to defend themselves. Well, then, you know, like in the UK, they ban handguns, so then people are, you know, using rifles and knives. And, you know, I understand the arguments on both sides when it comes to control of things like that. But, you know, here's proof that if somebody really wants to take somebody out, they will find a method and a means.
Of course. You know, and that's another weird thing this week, just to throw this in, because it is part of the gun issue also, is that you have this acquittal, right, of the guy, the Parkland law enforcement guy, right, who they brought to trial. Maybe he should have reacted quicker and this and that. And apparently the jury said no. And that's that. I find that to be a weird state of circumstances where now they're going to try and prosecute people for not reacting. I don't know. You know, it's always a dicey argument.
It is. I mean, you know, they have to make a snap decision when it comes to charging somebody in a situation like that. And he went before a jury and they found him not guilty. So,
yeah,
you know, his argument was he couldn't tell where the shots were coming from. He thought they were coming from outside the building. So, you know, under that circumstance, we weren't there. We don't know.
And, you know, I am not automatically. Well, look. Sorry, you know I'm not automatically sympathetic to law enforcement, right? But human beings are human beings, and, you know, you can't guarantee a reaction. Yes, indeed, I see circumstances where people should have responded better based on their training and things like that. But in this case, that situation, I think it was a big waste of time to drag that guy to trial for supposedly not reacting quicker. I mean, I don't know. I think it's a hell of a thing. How do you even judge that unless you were in his shoes that day and saw exactly what he saw? I got to say, you know, just man to man, human being. Forget about, you know, law enforcement or not. And again, I never default to feeling sympathetic to somebody with a badge. But
I agree with you there. I mean, you know, there, you know, unless you're standing in his shoes and you went through it, it's kind of hard to make that call. But, you know, we gotta put faith in the jury system. You know, he was tried by a jury of his peers and he was found not guilty. So, hey, more power to him. I hope he can get on with his life after all the notoriety that went his way. And, you know, unless he changes his name, it may be hard to get a job. But, you know, let the guy, you know, continue on with life. Parkland was a while back, and we've got others to come out of that episode, like who was it, David Hogg, the camera whore that is now, you know, anti-gun left and right, and he was going to compete with the MyPillow guy and invent his own pillow, and that didn't go through. But this story I found unique, not only because of the method used, but where he did it. It says a Maryland man has been charged with murder after allegedly killing a woman with a stolen forklift. According to the Charles County Sheriff's Office, on July 2nd, officers responded to a burglary at Lowe's Home Improvement Store on Crane Highway. The Sheriff's Office says the suspect, Brian Caleb Timothy Brown, allegedly broke into the business, stole a forklift, and rammed it through the rear gates, and then drove it to the Home Depot parking lot. This is what I find so hilarious. In a lot of big cities, you find Lowe's Home Improvement and Home Depot within a block of each other.
Yeah.
I guess, if people are going to go buy stuff for DIY projects, you know, hey, let's capitalize on maybe undercutting Lowe's, so we'll move right down the street. So he goes down to the Depot parking lot and rams a parked vehicle. There was a woman sleeping in the car. She gets out of the car when it gets hit and tries to run away, and the guy mows her down with the stolen forklift. All right, now he's got to make an escape. I guess the forklift was too slow because he ends up stealing the lady's car and takes off down the road. I just found this would be totally hilarious.
This sounds like a scene from a movie, doesn't it? I mean, like, stolen forklift runs the lady over and takes her car.
We went to Home Depot.
And he went to Home Depot to do it. I mean, he didn't want to do it in the Lowe's parking lot? Okay. He wasn't going to return it. It reminds me of that story some years ago where the guy ran his wife through the wood chipper and then got busted because he brought it back and didn't clean it out, you know? Like, what the hell?
What?
Yeah, that's a real story. That happened, yeah.
He's been charged with both first and second degree murder. Now, that's kind of unique. I've never heard of anybody in that situation before where I know in some states, if you get charged with murder, you get a second charge if it involves a handgun or if it's especially heinous. But this is, he's been charged with first and second degree murder, assault, theft, and various other related charges.
Sure.
So, found that strange. He was charged with both first and second degree. I guess that's so if they don't find that he was premeditated, they can get him on the second degree. I don't know.
Yeah, in a couple of states they do this where if you're charged with the highest level of the felony, they also charge you with lesser versions of that felony simultaneously, which I always thought was not legally sound. Constitutionally, I thought, you know, you can't be charged for the same crime twice, basically, so isn't that what they're doing? But apparently, according to some state constitutions, you charge them with various levels of the same felony for the same act. I mean, because we're talking about one body here and two different charges, right?
Right.
Yeah, see, in some states they do this, and I don't know, it just seems to me to be not tenable, you know, from a constitutional standpoint. I should probably ask Jimmy James about this, because he's often focused on that kind of thing. It almost seems like you're getting charged with the same crime more than once, and I could have swore that was one of those things in our system here that you're not supposed to have. Double jeopardy should not be a situation, right, where they just can't keep attempting to charge you over and over again for the same incident. I you know, but they do this where they stack it together, and okay, the jury says no to the first degree murder, but they decide, well, second degree works, you know, according to the statutes or whatever. It seems weird to me. Jimmy James, what do you think about that?
Yeah, the jury can only convict them of one or the other. It just gives the jury more wiggle room as far as the punishment.
Yeah, but see, in New Jersey, all right, and New York, you have to decide. Like, if you're charging somebody with murder, you pick a degree, okay? And you can't just go, well, I couldn't get them on first degree, I got to get them on second degree. You have to choose that, which is why sometimes it's a slightly lesser charge when somebody goes, well, why did they get a manslaughter charge instead of a murder charge, et cetera? It's because they only get to pick one. And they feel confident they got the manslaughter charge slam dunk, but can they prove the other parts of it to make it a second degree or first degree murder? You know, like BP was saying, premeditation is necessary usually. And if they don't feel confident that they can prove that, you know, again, in a court, it's not what you know, it's what you can prove, right? So I know in New York and New Jersey, that's the way it works. But in some other states, apparently, it's like, yeah, they give multiple choice to the jury, right, Jimmy James?
Yeah, and I could see the sense in it, because otherwise, like you say, up here, they charge you with 150 things.
Mm-hmm.
That way they get you no matter what. And the other way, you know, they just charge you with a few heavyweights and let the jury decide. I don't care for either of those options.
Yeah, right. No, I get it, you know, because the way it works, again, in like Jersey, probably Michigan the same way, is, you know, what they'll do is they'll stock everything from a parking ticket and abusing a corpse onto your murder charge, right? You know, where it's like you got charged. So they didn't get you for murder. They didn't get you for kidnapping. But they did get you for abusing a corpse, having a firearm, blah, 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 blah. And by the time they stack it all together, you know, one way or another, you're getting caught up in something. These other states, though, they'll apply various degrees to the major crime and do it that way. And I guess it just varies by state and jurisdiction. But it seems weird to me because it almost feels like you're getting charged with the same crime more than once. You know, I don't know. It just it feels like a double jeopardy thing to me, like logically. But maybe I'm just inaccurate about that. What do you think, Jimmy?
Well, double jeopardy is when you're recharged after you've been acquitted. Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't exactly be that.
Well, but, in effect, kind of. Well, the reason why I'm saying it is because, in effect, right, they turned down the first degree murder charge. Now they can, you know, okay, well, maybe second degree. It's almost like instead of, you know, it allows them to consolidate it, and they it might as well bring you back to trial and try you again. And say, well, we couldn't charge you with first, we couldn't get you for first degree, but now we try and get you for second. You know, which in separate trials you can't do because that's double jeopardy. You're being charged about the same crime because it's about the incident that is the crime, the criminal act, right? But it's weird because it's almost like, you know, well, instead of us having to run them through another trial, which is not legal, we'll just give you, I don't know. It just, it seems to me like it's almost the same thing except they're saving money by doing one trial and giving you multiple choice. I don't know. It just doesn't seem right, but what can you do? I get the logic, and if you can get away with it, you get away with it, but it just seems to be an unfair thing to do. You know, I think the other way is better, where it's like, well, maybe we charge the lesser charge because at least we're confident we can get that. But, hey, we'll just go for all 3 degrees and see whichever one sticks. I don't know. It just seems like an unfair advantage to the prosecution, to me. But, anyway. Interesting point, BP. But that is a wild story, though, with the forklift. And, I mean, doesn't it sound like a scene from a movie, Chris?
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, guy tries to escape, runs over the lady. Now, first degree, yeah, is there premeditation involved there? Or did he just by circumstance happen to run into her in the Home Depot parking lot instead of the Lowe's parking lot? I don't know. But then he steals her car. You know, I don't know, man. That's just crazy sounding to me. It's like, again, sounds like something that's in a movie.
Sounds like the intro to like a Tarantino or a Coen Brothers movie.
Yeah, or like a Grand Theft Auto knockoff, maybe.
Yeah, so yeah, an old Roger Corman B movie, Death Race 2000.
Fair enough. Hey, we do have another caller, BP. Shall we take the new caller?
Oh, absolutely.
All righty. So, brand new caller, I've gotten you as quickly as possible. You're on the air.
Hey, Chuck, Pat the Plumber here. Good day, Chris. This story is very interesting. I'd really like to know the history behind it, because it seems like with everything that's going on here, there's got to be some history. You know, you get – I think the double jeopardy comment is definitely relevant in the crooked court system that we have here, but it seems like there was almost a double action where – he went through the car and then maliciously gunned her down, if you will, with the forklift. And, you know, it seems like there's some history behind it, but it's just such a crazy story that, you know, I'd love to know more about it once it kind of unfolds, you know?
Hmm. No, I agree with you, Pat. BP, is there any, mention of history in the article there? I mean, does anybody know what the motive was? I mean, did he know this lady? Did he just run across her randomly? I mean, what do we know about that?
So far, I haven't heard anything on that. I'm trying to find more since he asked. I will look and let you know if I find something else.
Yeah, I mean, there is bound to be some background here, Pat. Yeah, good.
Maybe secondarily, the guy is just batshit crazy because he stole a forklift, rammed it through a gate, you know, made his way to a Home Depot that was a couple of blocks down the road. And then in the heat of the moment or whatever psychotic break the guy's going through, he just happens to target this lady and he's already fully into it and committed with hitting her car and then just, go, you know, rides her down after that, you know.
No, I got you, and I'm telling you, it's definitely a crazy story. What was going on here? Did he target her, or was she just sleeping in the wrong place at the wrong time? Because according to the story that BP read, she was sleeping in her car. So, you know, did he just happen along and say,
I'll
oh, look.
I bet any amount of money this guy was high as a kite, probably on meth. I've been thinking about it, Chuck. You know how they should have charged him with his attempted first-degree murder and second-degree murder?
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. That makes more sense because first degree, again, precognition. You got to have some premeditation usually or you're lying in wait. And from the sound of this, again, not knowing any background, but Pat, like Pat brought up, there's got to be some background here to this. Or this is a random circumstance, in which case there's no point in bringing up the first degree charge. I'm thinking because, sure. You know, I know that they'll do that in the case of, like, say, somebody robbing a place. They'll say, well, you premeditated to go in there with a gun and you were obviously going to threaten people. So logically, you could assume that the possibility of you killing somebody was intact when you went in there with the weapon, armed robbery. Right. So they'll charge somebody with first degree murder in that case. Like, say they're going to rob a convenience store or a gas station. That happens. And I don't necessarily disagree with that because you got to have a reasonable, unless you go in there with an unloaded weapon or something, you know, like an empty gun, you have a reasonable idea that you may have to kill somebody because you're pointing a gun at them. They might, you know.
I found there's a reference here that says the officials said that Brown and Pinckney, Brown was the guy that did it, Pinckney was the 73-year-old lady that he killed, are not known to have known each other. So they're still trying to track down a connection between two or if it was random, but I can't find any story with a date stamp that wasn't 3 days ago. The closest thing I've read was that right there where they say the officials say they didn't know, they can't find a connection between the two. Yeah. So that's the latest that I can get on it so far.
And, you know, the idea that maybe there was some meth involved or something like that, not unreasonable. I mean, you know, I've seen, you know, something.
I'm waiting for the memes to come out somehow between Home Depot and Lowe's. Somebody's going to make a connection there.
Yeah, somebody's going to make like a little ad that says, hey, rent from us and kill them in their parking lot or something. You know, that's
rent this for $29 a day.
If you're going to use the murder, this is a murder weapon, you will not get your deposit back. We need to warn you. And a forklift, that is.
Can you imagine though, the slow, sorry. Can you imagine though the slow motion kill after the fact? Like, I mean, I guess the initial hit on the car when you're sleeping would probably disable you a little bit, but, you know, her getting out of the car, I can imagine this, this 1980s horror movie, she's moving super slow down the road and the forklift's coming and it slowly runs her over.
Just reminds me of Austin Powers where the guy's like, no! And the steamroller is like far, far away. No! Yeah. They're like, move, get out of the way. And he still gets crushed.
Yeah, see, it is one of those things where you're yelling at the screen, like, stop yelling at the guy and get out of the way. And, you know, like, how do you get run over?
He's like a mile away, and he still just stands there.
Yeah, but that's the joke. But the funny thing is, realistically, though, yeah, that's a good point as well, is, like, you couldn't move. All right, I've used a forklift in the past. I don't know them to be. I mean, look, they're not necessarily super slow, all of them. But the fastest forklift I've ever seen, it shouldn't be that difficult to outrun or avoid. You know, even
the 73-year-old now. I mean, she could have panicked and just run in a straight line. Most people would think zigzag with a forklift.
Or if the initial impact or if the initial impact did indeed injure her to the point, which we can imagine so, forklift hitting you in the car while you're sleeping.
Could be.
Where she was disabled and just kind of limp in a way. Not to get too morbid about it, but it's such a crazy story. I had to call in and talk about it.
No, it's definitely a crazy story because, again, yeah, that's an interesting point. I mean, look, she could just be disoriented from being woke up. I mean, I don't know about you, but I woke up a little disoriented on some days. And if I was sleeping in my car in the Home Depot parking lot, you know, maybe I wasn't super comfortable and I was exhausted to begin with when I decided to get some shut-eye over there. And it might be like, what the hell is going on? Like, you don't generally expect a forklift to be bashing into your car. You're like, what the hell? Yeah. I mean,
generally. And if she's 73 years old, you know, odds are she's sleeping in the parking lot. She's probably not in the best, you know, shape. And, you know, most 73-year-olds ain't going to run too fast, too far. So, you know.
Yeah, well, that's true, too, but I mean, you know.
Under perfect circumstances.
Yeah, but, right, under perfect circumstances, true, but it is strange. Like, how is it that she ends up getting run over after being struck? Like you said, if there was an initial injury, but I bet you the forensics people are having a party with this. I mean, what do you do? That's got to be the unusual case of the year.
And you also... In this day and age, you got to question how a story like this makes it into the lexicon because it's so entertaining and so intriguing that, you know, it makes your brain work in all kinds of different directions. And, you know, you wonder what's a distraction these days with subs supposedly collapsing underwater and what's not. For me, it's hard to shake it one way or the other because I've gotten to the point where I just don't know what to believe at all. You know?
Right. But it does, you know, it does smack of being bizarre enough to be a real circumstance, though. That's the thing. The weirdest things do happen in real life all the time. You know, where it's just like crazy stuff occurs and, you know, it doesn't pop up in the news that often because they're droning on about the same damn thing for day in, day out. But honestly, when stuff like this happens, I'm almost surprised this wasn't a bigger story. Because it is totally bizarre. Sounds like a cheesy horror movie or, again, a terrible knockoff of, like, Grand Theft Auto game, you know? Instead of Simpsons hit and run, now it's Home Depot hit and run. Something like that, you know? I don't know.
If that wasn't a roller, if there's a roller, they'd be in big trouble.
Well,
either way, you kill somebody with a forklift, you're getting at least 2 stars right off the rip.
Yeah, for sure. And how do you kill somebody with the fork? I mean, you know, did he use the forks? Did he run her over? He ran her
over. The cops found her under the forklift. Yeah, dead.
And he just, okay, I'm parking the forklift on top of her.
The machinery.
I mean, yeah, look, a forklift is heavy. You know, and no doubt, if you find yourself under it, you know, you ain't happy. But I don't know. It's totally bizarre. The idea that he also takes her car afterwards is just crazy, too. That's why I'm thinking, you know, the old Simpsons game, the hit-and-run game.
Yeah, but then, wait a minute. Yeah. But then, if the car is in good enough shape to drive and seal afterwards, hey, you know, that's kind of questionary too, because then he couldn't have hit it hard enough to completely disorient her if the damn thing is still drivable after the fact.
Mm. Well, that's the thing,
point here is out. And there is an ancillary story mentioned here in this one. This is from KTLA. It says, in March, a man was accused of chasing pedestrians with a stolen forklift in Portland. Nextar's Kale Ann reports he was charged with theft and unauthorized use of a vehicle.
Okay. But they're not adding that charge to this guy.
Maybe this was a copycat. Who knows?
I would like to viral TikTok video is donuts in the streets with forklifts.
Yeah, did somebody say what's this guy's manifesto like? Did somebody just say that? Did I hear that, or was I hearing things?
I was just going to say that when I was in the military, I seen a guy flip out and jump in a loader and try to clamshell a chief's head off. He was chasing with the triangle. You know how they open and close the front? He was trying to get his head. I was like, oh, boy.
That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny. Yeah, when I worked for a machinery rigger, when I came out of high school briefly, they taught me how to use the forklift so I could move things around the yard. But, you know, it's just I'm picturing this and thinking about it. And probably the ones they rent would be an automatic, so it's easy to use. But I don't know, the speed at which these things travel, it's just a crazy thing to me that he got to run this lady over with it. It seems to me like that would be a slow-moving enough thing that even at 73, she should have been able to get out of the way. And we don't know the shape of that car, by the way. I mean, look, if he's literally poked the forks through, you know, say the door, which could be possible, you know, depending on the strength of the forklift and all that. It wouldn't be that hard to poke, you know, depending on the size and the power again. Maybe the forks got poked through the door, and that's what alerted her, and she jumped out the passenger side. I mean, is there any more details on that part of it, BP? Like, the initial hit on the car is one thing. She hits the car. We got that. But did he, like, you know, poke the car with the forks? Did he just hit it and she got out, you know, to confront him and got run over? I mean, what is the – do we have any more details in there?
And just imagine laying there in the seat of the back seat of the car and, you know, bang, and then you look over and there's a fork of a forklift sitting there, and just luckily it didn't skewer you like a shrimp on a Barbie, you know. So
yeah, well,
it's pretty spectacular.
Well, that's what I was wondering about. Did he stab the car with the forks? And, you know, there's nothing saying that she was sitting in the laying in the back seat. I know a lot of people do that, but some people will just, you know, lean the front seat back and lay in the front seat, kind of, you know, a little bit out of the line of sight, and that's why they'll sleep in a car sometimes in a parking lot.
I'd be ramped in the back.
Yeah, no, some people get in the back, but well, some people don't.
Thanks for letting me contribute, guys. I got to run, but you guys have a good evening. Thanks for letting me end the evening.
Oh, absolutely, man. Call back anytime, and we'll be you'll be hearing from us pretty soon, actually. So I do believe
wonderful.
I put your package
like
in the
it.
Mail, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's coming to you. I got that out today, so that is on its way to you. But anyway, man, thanks for calling in and appreciate your comments. And, yeah, this story is crazy. It really is.
I think you're
absolutely, sir. Thanks for having me. I look forward to it.
All right. Yeah, go ahead.
Bye-bye.
Take care, man. Go ahead. Somebody was trying to break in there. I'm not sure who with a comment.
No, I think she was already killed. I think we're not getting all the details. If he was able to take the car afterwards, it's not. He wasn't poking hole like the forks through it. I think he killed her some other way.
Mm.
The car.
Well, I guess that's a possibility.
A lot of these stories, I just like to say, a lot of times there's a lot of details missing that you can just kind of tell that it's like there's got to be more to this. It just doesn't add up.
Yeah, well, see, that's, I think, Tom's initial thing is that there's got to be more to this, but BP said that in the story it said, you know, that they were not known to each other previously, which is interesting in and of itself, but that means that he randomly came across this lady, if they're right about that, and just somehow hit her car. She winds up being outside of her car and getting killed. I don't know, man. The whole thing is weird.
Like, was she the witness to something that we're not privy to? You know, that kind of thing? Cops in the area? Who knows?
I don't know. You know, BP, I mean, we're not getting any indicators out of these stories, are we? Huh. Is BP still on the line?
Yeah, he's muted.
Oh, okay. He shouldn't be. BP, if you can hear me, man, you're muted, I guess. So,
I'm reading. I've got the Charles County Sheriff's Office press release.
Okay,
and they go into the description, and it says,
The victim was later identified as Gloria Steen Pinckney, 73, of Waldorf. Brown and Pinckney are not known to each other. Right. So they pursued some leads, showed some pictures of the guy around, and apparently they located her car near his house, and then they arrested him and charged him. So there's no – it just says that for unknown reasons, he rammed a vehicle that was parked in the parking lot. A woman who was asleep in the car got out when the forklift struck her car and began running away. Brown followed her, struck her with the forklift, ran over her, and then stole the victim's car and fled. So officers who were investigating the burglary at Lowe's started canvassing the area, observed the forklift in the other parking lot. They found her, started to try to identify her, couldn't. So they just started pursuing leads, whatever leads they had. So we'll see what comes out of it. A young 20-year-old guy that, I mean, he looks normal by his mugshot, but you never know.
But there's the other thing is I guarantee you there's parking lot surveillance here. There's got to be a camera operating. So dollars to donuts, there is a video of this somewhere. Right?
Oh, I'm sure there is. You know, I don't know if in that part of the parking lot it was actually covered with video, but I'm sure they got the video from the store, and that's how they got a photograph of the guy when he stole the forklift. And so from there, they were able to start showing his, there was one story I read where they were showing his photo around, identified him, went to his house, and found the car near his house. So it could be that, you know, he just had to stand on the thing, ram the car, she gets out of the car, he runs her down, and then he's got a haul buggy, so he steals the car. Now, who knows?
I guess.
Parking around, and the woman sleeping in a car and did that on purpose. Why? Because I think he's evil and he was all mapped up.
I wouldn't doubt it. I would not doubt it. I mean, generally speaking, these are not the kind of activities you participate in sober. You know, he could have just been drunk, too. I've seen drunk guys do crazy stuff like this, you know. But meth is a very likely suspect when it comes to stuff like this. Oh, man. Where are we anymore? You know, and I wanted to talk about the nut that was, you know, menacing Obama. Nobody bid on that, but cocaine White House and the thrill killing with a forklift. That,
Chuck,
that
works Chuck
out.
What was the Obama thing? Because you were kind of pushing that earlier.
Well, I find it interesting that some guy, okay, this is the way I read the story earlier, is that Trump went and published an address on Truth Social and said that that was Obama's D.C. address. So somebody took that address, went to it, and was there making some weird statements about, I have them surrounded, I'm out here, I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna make myself known, or these kind of crazy things. And, they arrested the guy for threatening Obama, basically. So, that's all I know. And then there's different accounts of the contents of his car. He had, weapons with him, he had all kinds of stuff with him. You know, and I just thought that was a pretty wild story, given that the Secret Service is likely involved there, and also the Secret Service is clearly involved in the cocaine White House story. You know, it's just, it's a weird week, man. What can I say? I mean,
the Obama one, you think a diversion, possibly?
I don't know. I don't know, because even
I
when...
think the Obama one.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jimmy.
I was going to say that the Obama one sounds an awful lot like the one where Schumer was saying that whatever, the Brett Kavanaugh needed to reap the whirlwinds, and a guy showed up to his house with a gun to kill his family. Isn't this the exact same story?
It's similar.
Only they took one.
It's similar. Obama, see, Obama's a weird thing because, you know, there's always threats. Any president has threats made against them. They always do. And Obama, I remember when he was in office, there was stuff going on. And at one point, somebody actually walked into the White House and made it pretty far inside with a weapon. The Obamas were not home at the time. But somebody made it pretty far in there, and there were questions about, you know, is there lax protection for them and this and that. You know,
they're right outside the bedroom, actually.
Yeah, they got deep into the residence with a weapon, you know, before anybody stopped them. You know, there was that. There have been shots taken at the White House. There have been a lot of different incidents over the years. But the Obama thing, a lot of times they suppressed the reports until much later that the Secret Service had to react. I mean, we also had that weird incident where there were party crashers. I don't know if you guys remember that.
I thought that's the one you were talking about, the man and the woman during the cocktail party.
No, there was another incident where a guy just, with a gun, just walked straight on in. And nobody can account for why it is nobody caught him on the perimeter or anything. And he walked into the White House. Cool. That happened when the Obamas were not home. A guy got in there with a with a rifle.
Update on the forklift killer.
Oh, BP has an update on the forklift story. So let's get to that. Go ahead.
Apparently, about an hour before this.
Wait a sec. Let BP get to this update on the forklift story. Go ahead, BP.
Apparently, about an hour before this whole thing happened, this individual's mother called the police department to let her know her son was having a mental episode breakdown.
Oh.
And she called, said, come get him. And they finally got there. When they got there, he had already left and went and did this.
Mm. Okay, so maybe not meth induced. I mean, it's possible to be psychotic and on meth, but sounds like a psychotic episode of some sort was probably going on. And this is the end result. But drugs could have still been involved. I mean, you know, we don't necessarily have that information either positively or dispositively. So possibilities are there for that, right? Because yeah. There's no mention of him being intoxicated or anything, right?
I'm thinking about the story.
Sorry, Jimmy, what'd you say?
Yeah, I'm sticking with the meth theory.
It's a good bet. It's a reliable bet.
Well, you know.
Go ahead, Vance.
It's kind of going to the, you know, it's pointing at the mental health aspect, and you know, so when you hear that, well, that leads me to that agenda, and like here recently in San Antonio, a lady who was having a psychotic episode, and the cops came to her house because somebody called the cops, and anyway, long story short, she barricaded herself in the house, and then she, you know, showed up in the window holding a hammer, and she ended up busting the window out with the hammer, and the cops shot her, and so three cops going to jail. Yeah, they prosecuted the cops for murder, you know, charged them with murder for shooting the lady in her house, you know, while she's wielding a hammer, and they just spent a whole bunch of money recently doing a mental health course, you know, that people are, you know, the cops are supposed to go through to like a special unit that they call to deal with people, and they didn't bother to call them, so that's like a big uproar now, you know, that they should have called the, you know, the mental health. So here they're, I think it's kind of further in this agenda of, you know, we have to suspect everybody of being mentally unstable, and, you know, therefore, you know, maybe we're going to have to start having a special background check before we can drive a forklift or something, you know. I don't know. I'm just being a little facetious there. But
yeah. No, fair enough. And you know what you just reminded me of? You know what you just reminded me of, actually, is that
your analysis.
Yeah, no problem. Listen, I you know what you just reminded me of is that we haven't heard much follow-up on the Pelosi story, have we? Speaking of hammers. We have not heard much follow-up on that.
You might hear of it when the guy goes to court, but other than that, that story's buried.
Yeah. But nothing about it. Nobody's given us an update, you know, any more on the motive or, nobody's really chasing that one down, right? Where is Nancy Grace when you need her with her weird looking head? Where is she? on this one.
Was that the one about Nancy's beard?
No, the whole thing about, remember the Pelosi story where the cops showed up and we got the body cam where there's that weird situation. He's holding a drink and holding on to the guy's hammer, and then he winds up clocking.
I mean. Nancy Pelosi's beard, Paul, her husband.
Yeah, okay. if you want to call it that, sure. But
it seemed like they were partying before the door opened.
I have a question for BP.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, ABP, do you still say Trump was a worthless president after his judiciary this week? Let's see. Got rid of reverse discrimination. Saved the First Amendment by saying that Biden has to quit fornicating with technology companies, as he has been since day one, as has been exposed. What do you think about that?
BP?
That?
Jimmy was asking a question. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm asking again.
You want to repeat the question, Jimmy?
Do you still say Trump? Sure. Do you hear me? I got all right?
Yeah, I hear you. Go ahead.
All right. My question is, BP, do you still say Trump was a worthless president? Seeing as it is his judiciary that overturned Roe v. Wade, overturned reverse discrimination, and saved the First Amendment this week by literally telling Biden to keep away from the technology companies and to quit fornicating with them.
No, I think he was a lousy president for other reasons. It has nothing to do with judiciary. And the judiciary, even in this round, I agree with some of their decisions, but the case on the district or redistricting maps in North Carolina and the ability of the state court to override things, I didn't agree with. I think they blew that one. So, but there's been other court cases with Kavanaugh and Roberts that didn't work out the way people thought. Look at Obamacare. We can thank Roberts for that being
exactly
to do with Trump.
And Amy Bennett, or whatever her name is, there's three on there that aren't reliable. I mean, Hollywood John Roberts votes with the liberals more often than he does the so-called conservatives.
I got a question.
And Kavanaugh, in a second there, Harlan, Kavanaugh, his first couple decisions didn't really please the Republicans too much. So, you know, it's a crapshoot when it comes to the Supreme Court because they all got egos that they're dealing with and personal gripes and dislikes. So, you know, the fact that Trump named the three that he did, yes, I think was a good thing. My problem with Trump is other things totally unrelated to that. So, you know, I don't know if that answers your question. Go ahead, Harlan.
Well, what I don't understand is you know, it's like everybody on the right, especially on the MAGA side, they keep falling back on just how good this so-called conservative Supreme Court is. But, you know, you've got the first version of Obamacare was basically kicked over and blessed by John Roberts. And then back here a couple of years ago, it was a 7-2 decision that basically re-blessed it again. And the only ones that voted against it, the best I can remember, was Gorsuch and Alito. So two of those that he appointed voted in favor for the Obamacare mandate. And now you've got a lot of people that's got Obamacare, that's working regular jobs for fairly good-sized companies. And I just think, you know, a lot of this stuff is just people just grasping, and I'm not trying. I know me and Jimmy's more or less been into it on here more than once. But why is it that everybody is just grasping for something when there was so much he could have done easy? Hold on just a second. I realize a lot of stuff. Exactly. That's the problem. I wish that I was as dumb as a lot of other people and didn't realize all this. I'd have a lot less stress. I wished I was gullible And I wish I didn't pay attention to all this stuff. But it's a little hard not.
You sound like John Pierre.
I call myself
a historical figure.
I feel like that all the time, Harlan. I wish I didn't understand some of the things that I do and I see unfolding. It's like, I really wish I didn't see this and understand how ridiculous it is. I feel that way all the time. So, you know, I sympathize.
Just I mean, I'm not a short ears. Yeah. I'm just a fact recognition.
No, I envy
George Bush.
Yeah.
You're appointed John Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the Trump's people. They weren't even on the damn court at that time. And yeah, his court isn't perfect. But I will say this. Do you not realize that we were on the edge of complete medical tyranny if it wasn't for those judges? We would be in the same shape as Canada and all the rest. We would have had forced vaccinations if it wasn't for
the court. Well, nurses don't. Because of that same Supreme Court that said basically they had conned everybody they could and forced as many people as they could into taking it. And the same day they said that all nurses, medical field workers, had to take it. That's not my opinion. That's a fact. You know, they sit there and they
The Supreme Court said that the government has a right to make their own employees get it.
BP's, I'm sure he's sitting there in front of the computer. He can look it up where that on the same day that they said that medical field workers had to take it.
Well, I do recall recall a decision, Harlan, that was made that said basically government workers could be compelled to take it. I remember what Jimmy James is talking about. I do recall that decision. Now, the thing about medical workers,
medical workers, they're not working for the government, not all of them.
No, I'm asking a question here, though, because I legitimately don't remember. I think the thing with the medical workers was made in a lower court. Wasn't it like in Texas or Oklahoma or something? Wasn't it there that they said that was where the medical workers thing was decided?
Exactly.
Because
the Supreme Court decision overruled all that garbage. Thank God.
Go ahead, BP. What were you saying?
Well, you had various state courts who heard cases that said, yes, the state had a right to cause these things. Let's see.
Yeah, various state and circuit courts. I'm pretty sure it's state and circuit courts, I think, in many locations had agreed that there was a need for the public good to compel medical workers to take this stuff. I recall that the Supreme Court did decide that the government was allowed to, enforce this on their workers, which I don't like, but I think that's where it came out of. And I don't recall the Supreme Court deciding this about medical workers. I mean, Harlan, I'm not trying to argue with you. I'm just thinking that that's not exactly how that went. I mean, we could look it up and see if I'm wrong about that.
Look, that's what I'm looking at right now. I'm trying to weed through this to get to their decision. This is from the Journal of American Medical Association, JAMA Network.
Go ahead.
And it says, in the wake of the U.S. Supreme Court's COVID-19 vaccine mandate rulings, medical groups and public health organizations expressed a mixture of relief and disappointment. On one hand, the nation's highest court had upheld the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services regulation regarding vaccination requirements for healthcare workers. On the other hand, the justices decided that OSHA did not have the authority to require vaccinations or masking and regular testing for anybody outside of the healthcare system. So it was a two-pronged decision.
So what we have there is...
Right, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay, but what it sounds like to me, unless I'm misunderstanding it, is that if you're working for Medicare and Medicaid, they can make you do it because you're a government worker. OSHA, in general, can't force every other medical worker to do it, is what the Supreme Court decided, right?
What they decided was if you work for an organization that receives Medicare or Medicaid funding, like a hospital, some health organization or doctor's office, yes, you could be required to get the vaccine.
Oh, if you were receiving
beyond
funding.
That,
okay, yeah, okay.
Yeah, see, there was two different arguments. One was...
Go ahead, BP. Go ahead. Finish it up. Go ahead. There's two different arguments. Go ahead.
These cases all hit at the same time because they were expedited through courts to get them up there.
Right, because it was considered. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
The first was hospital situation where hospitals were requiring vaccination for employees.
Right.
They said that in the, it says here, if the U.S. had instituted vaccine mandates last summer and everyone eligible had received boosters dosed by the fall, our hospitals would be in very different shape. Said this is one of the doctors that they talked to at this one place.
Mm-hmm.
He's an attending physician, Providence VA Medical Center. So in that instance, yes, the VA Medical Center could require vaccinations.
Mm-hmm.
But also signed, you know, they went to OSHA, and OSHA came up with this mandate for all businesses, all employers,
mm-hmm.
that they could mandate forced vaccinations, masking, and testing. That got thrown out. OSHA doesn't have the authority to do that under their purview or under the rules that, OSHA was set up on.
Okay.
So it was actually two arguments that got decided. They went with the healthcare system requiring vaccines. It's up to the hospital to do it. If you don't want to take the vaccine, you don't have to work there. You got to work for some other agency. But on the OSHA end of it, they ruled against it because they said OSHA doesn't have the authority. So it's two different arguments, two different decisions.
I see.
Okay, well, then that explains why there's any confusion at all. But but at the end of the day, it's if you're accepting the funding from Medicare, Medicaid, or if you're in a government-run facility, then they can mandate it.
Right? Yes.
Okay.
That's what I took from it.
Okay. Well, that's the way it is. What can I say? You know, but I do recall that the lower courts, like, absolutely said that the hospitals could just demand it in individual cases. I know that that happened. Probably that's how it got to the Supreme Court, is that somebody wanted to take it up, you know, further. That's what I'm guessing. Matter of fact, I seem to recall that that's exactly what happened, is that there were a bunch of cases, and one of them made it there, and that's what got decided in this circumstance you're talking about here. But there were several state and circuit courts that were deciding that, you know, hospitals could force people to take the vaccination. That's why there were the big walkouts in some places and all that stuff, right? I mean,
that's
the point, I always wanted to make.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Definitely, you know, nurses, there was led to a nursing shortage, and people, you know, didn't want to be nurses anymore. And so, you know, there was a kickback from it.
Oh, in some areas. And friend of the show, you know, we call him Captain Trips, but he is not quite a nurse, but a nurse practitioner, right? And he left the state he was in because they were trying to mandate it, and moved to Florida, where they would not force him to be vaccinated.
So, yeah, and the OSHA rule was for any employer with 100 employees or more, and that the company I work for would have fallen under that. We were until they decided this case. We had to do testing every week. I think we started mandated testing in September, maybe it was August, and we went through the first of the year. I think till. Well, when did we stop? It was like February or something. It was well past the time where they finally dropped the requirement once this court case was decided.
Right.
And they weren't going to, our company said, forget it. We're not going to hassle our employees with this because now they've determined OSHA can't make that ruling. So we're in the clear.
Right.
But yeah, we had to do the test until this thing got heard. And I tell you, it was getting irritating because towards the end, a lot of these services that were providing free testing were going out of business because the demand was down.
Mm-hmm.
So we had some guys that, I mean, they were scrambling, going everywhere. That's, remember when they came out with the free test kits for everybody? You could get so many.
Oh, yeah, they were going to mail you. Yeah, they were going to mail five to everybody or something in the country, right? Every address?
Yeah, part of the reason for that was a lot of the funding that they had for these testing centers where people could go in and get it done for free were closing down because the funding was running out.
Okay. Well, anyway.
I've never been in business.
Yeah. Well, look, I agree with you, Harlan, and I objected to this whole thing and don't think that anybody should be, you know, under the Nuremberg ideas here. I think nobody should be forced to accept a medication. you know, without their consent, right? But people object to that and tell me that it's irresponsible and damaging to the rest of society and so on and so forth. But nobody in my home has been vaccinated. Not against this, anyway. Anyhow, look, we're actually over the two-hour mark, so I think we should get around to everybody and try and let everybody have a final thought for the week. BP, what do you say?
Sounds like a plan.
Where should we start? Take them as they came in, or should we go in another order, or you want to go random? What do you think?
We could take them as they came in.
Okay, so let's think back. Who was the first person on the line? Was it Vance?
I believe so. Yes, it was Vance, and then it was Jimmy James or was Harlan next?
I think it was Vance, Jimmy, and then Nature Boy, and yeah. Okay, so let's go that way. We'll start with Vance. Vance, what's your final thought for the week?
Well, on the whole kind of generic topic that we've been talking about tonight, the cocaine and isn't the world great now that Biden is president narrative, you know, yeah. that whole story, it's all about, this is just the, you know, more of the same work in the WWE nomenclature that's been going on for a long time, is setting Biden up to be nobody with any common sense thinks Biden is in charge of anything. So it's obvious this is a production to make everyone believe that the Democrats are these crazy, you know, villains that, you know, apparently there, a lot of them are willing to play along with that role. So I'm not sticking up for any side, but it's just all set up for the long call that Trump is the victim now, and he's all going to be exonerated, and he's going to lead us to the promised land. So, you know, here we go. 2024, Trump, let's go.
Yeah, well, we didn't even get to that. More charges for Trump and everything else, but thanks for calling in, Vance. We didn't even get to all that mess, because I can't keep track anymore. But I still say that if Slow Joe is partaking, if he was theoretically partaking, he needs to get a better Coke dealer. And I think I got to default to Jimmy James' position that if I was to place a bet, I might have to go with the Vegas line, which suggests that it's more than likely going to be Hunter's. At the end of the day, the little amount they found that has changed location in the White House several times. But hey, that's a discussion maybe for another day. Maybe they'll have it resolved by the next time we get together. Okay.
It could be Jill's. You never know.
Right. Somebody asked in the chat room, did I say that I was looking forward to sniffing coke on the grassy knoll? No, I will not be doing that on the grassy knoll. I did smoke a joint on the grassy knoll last time I was there, but I did not. I have not partaken of any drug like that in a long time. So, and not when I was there in 2017 last. So just want to clarify that in case somebody thought I said that, which, Phase Shifter thought I did. I did not. Anyway, Jimmy James, I guess you're up next, right? BP, that's who's next in the order.
Sure.
Jimmy James, your final thought for the week. It could be that Jimmy's gone, or maybe he's on this line. Let's see. Jimmy, are you there? All right. Perhaps we lost Jimmy. If we did, no offense, man. I wasn't trying to hang up on you or anything, but you appear to be gone. So I guess that brings us to Nature Boy next.
Well, yep, it does.
Go ahead.
It's been a nice night. Kind of a good way to cap off a long, short week, if you will. And as always, everybody out there in listener land, support the Ocelli Effect. If you got a little bit of extra coin, you can donate. Ocelli.com, hit donate. If not, share the show, tell the friends, check out our Rockfin channel. I just published the video and audio version for Wednesday's show with Shannon Rowan, which was pretty amazing show. Great stuff. And we have some really good shows coming up on the next few Wednesdays. We have R.C. Hand, who's a world traveler and had a very similar but different background and childhood as Chuck has. And then after that, we have Ryan Woods, a.k.a. Lady MAGA, and that's always a fun conversation. So, as always, gentlemen and everybody out in Radio Land, thank you for letting me be part of it. I always enjoy it, and y'all have a good night and a kick-ass week.
Excellent. So we're going to once again have the transvestite or cross-dressing Trump supporter back on the show. Lady MAGA USA is going to return along with R.C. Hand in the coming weeks. Yeah.
Well, I thought it was appropriate because we just got through with Pride Month, right? And I have to say, for a man who wears a dress, he's got some serious balls because he went out to all these different Pride events dressed up to the hilt as Lady MAGA, right? With a "No Child Is Born in the Wrong Body" t-shirt on, they went around and interviewed people.
Wow. Well, yeah, hey, dude, that is definitely some courage at those events, but strange circumstance. We'll have to see what Ryan has to say about all that, who is also an openly gay guy. You know, just because you're dressing in ladies' clothes doesn't make you gay, I'm told. I'm not an expert on this subject, but it's what I'm told. However, but he is
gay.
He is gay. He's quite gay.
I had a friend who was trans, who was a man in a dress, and her name was Stephanie. And I refer to her as her because of respect. I mean, she was just a good person. And we were driving along the freeway one time, and she looked out at this chick in this car and was like, "God dang, I'd like to hit that fine chick." And dude, it blew my mind. I looked at her. I says, "Let me get this straight, Stephanie. You're trans. You want to go through the surgery, and you want to hit that chick?" And she looked at me with that rough voice sitting in her fucking dress and says, "Hell, man, I might be trans, but I ain't gay."
Huh. Well, look, he, she, Z, it's got nothing to do with me, but I don't understand it, man.
Hey, Ryan's always a good time. He's a really good guy, so that's why I brought him on.
Right. No, it'll be fun. One way or another, that'll be a fun show. And we'll do that one on video, so maybe we'll actually, we've never had him actually as Lady MAGA, right?
He's not coming on as Lady MAGA.
Oh, okay.
He's coming on as Ryan Woods.
All right. I thought maybe, but, you know, look, if the option comes up, maybe we do that, you know?
Oh, God, it takes like 3 hours to get in that costume, man.
Does it? Okay.
Yeah, dude. When he does it, man, he does it good. So I'm like, no, I can't ask him to do that. Plus, I find him more entertaining as himself as Ryan Woods to hear his perspectives. Because he has some really interesting perspectives, and he's a smart guy, as opposed to his character that he plays when he goes out to those rallies and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting space to occupy. I mean, there are not that many cross-dressing Trump supporters out there. Is cross-dressing politically incorrect? I don't even know if that's, is that? I don't know. I give up.
Who cares? This is the Uccelli effect. The politically correct, incorrect, what?
No, I was just trying to recognize whether it was or wasn't. I mean, I'll say whatever the hell I want because I don't have a boss here. So screw it. You know, what are you guys going to do? Complain? You do that anyway. So whatever.
Right. And what are you going to do? Fire yourself?
I might. That might be a thing. Yeah.
You, Trev, that might be a possibility. Man.
We'll see after Dallas if I can prove myself to myself, because I'm telling you, I'm exhausted from the craziness lately. But
quick note, and I'm going to shut up after this. Have you gotten hotel arrangements and all that stuff?
We know.
Are we staying? Do we have packages or anything like that? Because I want to get that booked.
We know which hotel. I'm waiting on the discount. If we can get, because I think it's smarter, even though it's going to be more money, it's smarter for me to stay in the hotel that we're going to be at for the conference. Yeah. But we're looking at it. It's very expensive. So,
well, it's not as expensive as the Motel 6, but I mean, the prices are comparable with everything else that's around Dallas at that time. From what I checked, I mean, it might be a $20-$25 difference between room rates, but looking at the prices that I looked for one of their corner suites, which is the much bigger room and allows more people to stay, the price is not bad. But which I'm just, like I said, like Chuck said, he's waiting on package discounts.
Yeah.
How much is it?
What I tell you, Chuck, for 3 nights, I think the suite was right at $1,200. I think is what I came up with.
Yeah. Well, it is a major city, remember, so, you know. I mean, you'd be in a shoebox in New York for that. So, I mean, what are you going to do?
I can wait real quick. I'll look it up and we can discuss it after the show.
There you have it. But and hopefully we're going to cooperate and work together there. I mean, you know, we'll chip in on pizzas or something. Also, there is a word that there may be a box lunch provided with your your conference fees for the one day, and then there's the banquet, and I know that'll be a separate thing we'll have to pay for. But you know, we're going to work this out so that we can eat while we're there and survive. And I'm going to bring a bunch of stuff with me too, which, by the way, I'm having got some interesting t-shirts on the way, which will also be added into the random swag. So there's going to be limited edition t-shirts as well. And that's still available, by the by. I've got plenty of hats sitting and waiting. Gonna have to figure out how to get to the post office next. But anyway, all that's coming up, and I hope that, I just hope to survive to Dallas, really. Okay, so we got Nature Boy in. I think, was it Harlan was next, or was it Chris was next?
I think Harlan was before Chris. Chris was first. Right.
Oh, Chris is before Harlan?
Yes.
Okay. So, Chris, your final thought for the week.
Well, I would love to see Lady MAGA and Sugar Tits night skiing in the Oval Office. Everyone have a great weekend.
There's a frickin' mental image for you. Woof. Ain't your boy. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh my God. That just busted me up. That visual's going to stick in my head, man. Like, there's no way to get that out of my brain. So, Chris, thanks, man. And have a good night.
Really? I tell you something, if Sugar Tits wasn't so tattooed. Anyways, moving on. I guess Harlan is next, right? Repeat.
Yeah.
So, Harlan, your final thought for the week, sir.
Well, everybody have a good weekend. It's good being on again. I think Vance said most of it best tonight to wind it all up. I'm going to finish listening to the show him and Chris did the other day later on. Be looking forward to some more from those guys, but we'll see you next week if I can make it.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was part one on the Boston bombing, and they will be continuing that discussion. I don't know if it'll be on Get Mad, Digging, or whatnot, but it'll be up to Chris. And he says he's feeling a bit better, so he should be getting back to full speed again in the coming days sometime, perhaps on Monday. Monday, Wednesday, or Friday, usually those are the days at 6 p.m. Eastern when Get Mad happens here on Ocelli.com. But lately, just like me, we've been reduced in our capacities, so we're going to get back to it, though, I assure you. And new shows coming. Occult Priestess and Erroneous Method are supposed to join us in the coming weeks, and Erroneous Method first, Occult Priestess next. And they have different ideas, not the shows they're doing elsewhere even. So they're already different enough, but we're going to have some seriously different content here coming out of the network shortly. Also, just to let you know, you have noticed no movement out of the website lately as far as publishing pods. We are still publishing them on the regular feeds, but the website has now been restored, the hack attack taken care of, and everything else. We were able to keep it up and fully operational. The site didn't totally go down over the past week, so I got lucky there, and we have cleared up the issues that people tried to go after my database once again for some reason. Anyway, it is what it is, and we'll keep going forward, and I'm not going to quit. Even if they break this website in half, I'm still going to be here, guys. All right? But I'm going to try and get it back to fully operational. And, of course, if you're listening to the regular radio stations online, if you're using your radio app and all that, constantly running material through there, even if we got to run some things on a higher rates of repeat because we have less material for the week, you're still getting different shows all the time. And, look, even on a bad week, we put out, what, four or five shows, usually, onto the radio station. So you have something different to listen to 24/7 on Ocelli.com radio. All right. B. Pete, let's see. Did we cover everybody? I think we did, except you.
Well, you know, I'm glad we got another week done. We're looking forward to next week. I'm glad we've been able to keep this a regular thing. I'm looking at prices right now. We're looking at about $230 a night for what, three nights, check in on Thursday, check out on Sunday. So that's not bad. I mean, $250. Mike can get it down to $199 if I use an American Express, but you know, we can go through that later. But looking forward to next week. Anybody that can, do what you can. Go to Ocelli.com, hit the donate button. It really could be used. And other than that, we'll prepare for next week and do it again.
Yeah, I mean, I broke myself this week with the car repairs and medicine and things like this, and totally broke myself this week. So I had plans to expand things and to actually purchase stuff for video platforming, and that is now on delay once again. But we're going to get there, and we're going to keep doing this. And one way or another, the bills are getting paid. So, any help that you can give out there, I appreciate it. And you can get your thank you gifts, even if you want to add on to a thank you gift that you've already are anticipating getting. I made a mass mailing today. I think I sent out, 10 packages today. So hopefully you're on that list. I got a few more that need to go out, but, I would love to have the problem of having to pack up some more, and I still have plenty of hats and other stuff. There's keychains, wallets, t-shirts. I think I have one hoodie left. I have, some mouse pads. I have pens. I have, you name it, man. There's all kinds of interesting stuff, branded Ocelli.com stuff mixed, between the shows. The mouse pads contain all the current shows that are airing. And there's a few other things happening there. Also, there might be a couple of different hats coming up as well. Somebody asked me about a winter hat, so I had a couple of those printed, a couple of the stocking hats, and a couple of bucket hats too. Because they were requested. So those will be coming up soon. And if you chip in, you will be eligible for a thank you gift. And if you are somebody who asked for one of those other hats other than baseball hats, let me know when you make your contribution. $50 or more, you're guaranteed to pick a hat from a show you want. And outside of that, you'll get other stuff mixed into your swag package, whatever it is I can afford to stuff in the, I've sent them out mostly in these black bags, black mailing bags so far, but, I might have to change my mailing method because it gave me trouble at the post office, but, we'll get them out to you. And, the decks of cards, some of those went out as well. Matter of fact, Nature Boy, yours went out today. I was delayed because I had no transportation, but they went out today. And, I know you got the special two decks of cards. Mm-hmm. That's on its way to you. And, other stuff in that package as well. Just like everybody else. Plus, you know, stickers and, bottle openers and, guitar picks. All kinds of stuff branded with either the logo of the network, my show, or in some cases other shows also mixed in. So anyway, this Friday night open mic is all done. So no matter who you are, where you are, when you are, I want you to remember that I am merely Ocelli. All of you are indeed the effect. Be part of the effect. Contribute to the network. Let me know you want your thank you gift. And, Jimmy James, send me your address again. I need to send a small package out to you as well. So, do that. And be well. Keep your head up, because I'm having a hell of a time doing it, and I'm going to do the same. Take care.